also, we're going to go to the book of Genesis, chapter 1. Amen. And while you're turning, I want to ask you a question. How many feels like that, you know, I talked to you last week about revival being for the church, and evangelism is for the lost. Amen. Oftentimes we get those two confused. But the church, you can't, as I said to you last week, you don't revive something that's never lived. Amen. Something has to live and then it dies and then you revive it. So revival's for the church and evangelism is for the lost. But I'm going to tell you something. When revival comes to the church, evangelism will be increased. Evangelism is getting ready to be increased. Speaking by faith right now that souls are going to come through that door, lost souls are going to come through that door and they're going to be saved by the power of God. Chains and shackles are going to fall off. God's getting us ready. God has to get his church ready for an influx of souls. Amen. That having been said, how many feels like revival's coming to your soul? How many feels that? Come on, raise your hand. You feel like you're being revived in Jesus' name. Revival's coming. You feel a difference. You feel a change taking place. Amen. Now I'm just going to tell you the truth. I'm going to preach you the truth. I refuse to stand in this pulpit and give the enemy any credit, but I'm going to tell you something as your pastor. As you feel revival coming to your soul and as you feel a change taking place in your life, the enemy's going to turn up the heat too. Amen? And you may see that. You know, I had a guy just this week came to me and he was talking about, he said, it seems like every time I make a step forward to do something for God that the enemy shows up. Folks, Jesus fasted for 40 days in the wilderness. When he came out, there was the enemy to try him. Amen. I told you that standing on this pulpit during worship here a couple weeks ago, I had a vision of an army and soldiers mounting up on horses and taking their proper places and raising up their swords. I want to tell you something. When the army of God wakes up, the armies of hell are going to wake up too. And what I'm trying to say to you is, you know, the armies of hell will sit down when the church is not doing anything. There's no threat. But when the church becomes a threat, then they say, look out, church getting ready to do something. Are you with me? Amen. Amen. So the armies of God are rising up, and we as the army of God, we start rising up in revival. Amen. Get ready. But we have power in Jesus' name. So I'm going to preach this one. We have greater power in him than all the armies of hell combined. The Bible says one can put 1,000 to flight and two can put 10,000 to flight. Amen? Hallelujah. Yes, go right ahead, Mark. Come on. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners, proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Now, can we just read it this way? The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon us.
Yes.
Because the Lord has appointed us.
Come on.
He has sent us. It's true.
That's right. Amen.
To proclaim freedom for the captives and to release from darkness the prisoners. Yes. To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor.
Yes. Amen. Give God praise.
That's right in line, Mark, with what I'm going to preach, what I'm going to share this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. Get ready, get ready, get ready. It's time for the church to wake up. He's sending us. But we got to be revived to be able to go, amen, and do what God wants us to do. Let's read our text. So I haven't turned myself. I ask you guys to go there. Psalm, the 8th Psalm. Hallelujah. I'm excited about the word of the Lord. Somebody say Jesus. Psalm, the 8th Psalm. And let's start with verse 3. The Bible says, when I consider the heavens, the works of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained. What is man? That thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him. Look at verse 5. For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. I want you to pay close attention to verse 6. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things. Everybody say all things. Say it again. Thou hast caused to put all things where? Under his feet. All sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passes through the paths of the seas. O Lord, how excellent is thy name. Okay, now keep your place there. Go back to Genesis. I love going back to Genesis. And I'll tell you why. Because what we read in Genesis is God's original design. Amen? It's God's original plan. I mean, knows God has a plan. Oh, hallelujah. I'm going to say it again. I mean, knows God has a plan. God is never without a plan. Genesis chapter 1. Verse 26. The Bible says, and God said, let us. Everybody say us. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Jesus right there from the beginning. Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have, here it is again, dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth up on the earth. Told you before, the devil's a creep. Amen? So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. God said them to be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Look here. And subdue it. And have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. I want to talk to you this morning about God's original plan. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we come before you in Jesus' name. Everybody stretch your hand towards your pastor. Father, you know my heart. And God, you know how I have sought you, Father, in tears, that your people would get your word deep down inside. And Father, that it would change them and transform them, and that we could become the church that you've called us to be, what you intend for your people to be. And God, so bless your word now. Bless your servant, Lord, as I speak your word this morning as a vessel unto you, God. Let it go out. Let it be anointed with your power, Father, and your glory, and we give you praise and honor. It's in Jesus' name we pray, and the church says, amen. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26, the Bible says that God created man in his own image. The word image here in the Hebrew is the word chasalim. And what it means is, it means his resemblance or his likeness. Amen? And it means to compare or to have a similitude. Initially, you know, what it is, it's like God. Amen? He created man in his image to be like him. Amen? And how many believes God is in dominion? How many believes he has authority? Jesus said, and I know I'll get way ahead of myself here, but the Bible says, Jesus said, all power is given unto me in heaven, where? And in earth. And if you study that, all power, the Greek rendering there, it is all authority. And like I said, I'm probably ahead of myself. He said, all authority is given to me in heaven and in earth. And he says, he created man in his own image and his own likeness. And he said that we are to what? Look at what the scripture says again. We are to walk in what? Somebody say it. In dominion. Amen. God gave the human race dominion over the earth and his creation. Come on. I'm going to say that again. God gave the human race dominion over the earth and his creation. Hallelujah. And in verse 6 of Psalm 8 there, it talks about there again in dominion and rule. It's the word rule. And it's in the Hebrew, it's a verb, and it means to rule or to reign or to have dominion, to walk in dominion. And you know, just stay with me. You guys got to pray because we're going to see a revival of souls. We're going to see a harvest, I should say, of souls. And we're going to see people's lives change. I believe that. And if I didn't believe that, I'd just go to the house and shut up the doors and say, go ahead and have at it. You can sing songs and take up an offering and have somebody get up and read some scripture and go back home. And nobody's changed. Nobody's delivered. Nobody's set free by the power of God. But I want to tell you something. I'm speaking right now by faith. It's going to happen. You're going to see the drug dealer saved. You're going to see the alcoholic saved. You're going to see the prostitute saved. It's going to happen. I'm not saying, Lord, let it happen. I'm saying by faith, it's going to happen. But folks, I'm going to tell you something. The church is going to have to take their place, amen, before we see the sinner come and get their place. God is getting his church ready. Adam was God's mediator. We're going to talk to about getting someone talking about the spirit of prayer. We're still on prayer. We're still on prayer. Adam was God's mediator, his go-between. He was God's representative. What's a representative do? He represents. You're exactly right. He represents what's already been presented. Amen? That's actually in my notes, Leonard. You've been reading my notes. God, Psalm 115 and verse 16, let me tell you something. God didn't give away ownership of the earth, but he did assign the responsibility of governing it to us. Amen? And some of you are saying, where in the world is Pastor going with this? I'm going to tell you, when we get there, you're going to see it. It's time for us to start governing the earth like we're supposed to. And you look at this, and I told somebody yesterday, it's so easy to get overwhelmed if you look at the big picture in the world and the nation and earth. But I'm going to tell you something. It's time for us to start taking authority in our circle. And I'm ahead of myself again. I mean, it's time for us to start taking authority in our homes. It's time for us to start taking authority in our lives. Amen. And in our communities and in our churches. Amen. We got to start here, folks. Hallelujah. What does it mean to represent? Webster defines it to present again. One who represents, if you will, the will of another. And act with authority on the part of it. So all we're doing is we're representing what God's already spoken. As the representatives of God. Man was created in the image of God. So we are to be like him. Amen. And to operate as he operates. Verse 5. Go back to Psalm 8. Jacob, if you can, track with me there. Y'all got to pray over this because I'm going to tell you something. This word right here, God wants you to get this word. If we get it, it's going to change our lives. Amen. How many's tired of fighting the same old devil? How many's tired of fighting the same old addiction, the same old bondage, the same old fear over and over and over? I preached to you last week, amen, about we don't need relief, we need deliverance. And this is walking in the realm of deliverance. When we get to this place, amen, to where we're not coming back. And please don't take me wrong. Amen, if you need prayer, we will pray for you. But sometimes we pray for the same things over and over and over, and there's no change. It's time for us to walk it out and to walk in what God has given us and say, I have it in Jesus' name. It's ours. Amen. We don't have to fight for it. Jesus already won the battle at Calvary. All we're doing is that we're enforcing the victory that was won at Calvary. We're saying, hey, we don't have to say, God, give me victory. Say, I'm enforcing the victory that God already gave when Jesus died on Calvary's cross, and I'm going to live it out. Woo, hallelujah. I'm about to just take off. We have the victory through Jesus Christ who has saved us. It's yours. Somebody say it's mine. You got to get it in your spirit. It's yours. Hallelujah. Where are we at? Verse 5 of Psalm 8. Until right now, I'm not going to get all this. I feel like I'm about to blow up. I've prayed over this word. I've cried over this word. I'll tell you what, I'm up at 4 o'clock in the morning. I'm going to tell you something. When the Holy Spirit wakes you up out of a dead sleep, and all you can hear is things rolling over in your mind. And that's all you can hear. And sleep, there's no way you can sleep. And the Lord says, get up out of bed. And you get up out of bed, and you get your pen, and you start writing things down. Amen. And the Lord starts speaking to you. And that's all your focus is on. I'm going to tell you something. That's oftentimes the best times you can hear from the Lord. That's when the TV's off. That's when the computer's off. The phone's not ringing. There's nobody around. It's just you in His presence, folks. It's time for the church to get to that place to where God can speak to His church again. God's still speaking. Are we listening? God didn't stop when He finished this book. God's still on the throne, and He's still speaking words today. Amen. And if you'll listen for His voice, you will hear Him. It's burning down in my soul. Psalm 8 and I want you to look at verse 5. That's made Him a little lower than the angels, crowned Him with honor and glory. Look how God created us. We make ourselves too little. Amen? Oh, bless God. I'm just little old me. I'm just trying to hang on. I'm just trying to make it by the skin of my teeth. As I told you last week, it's not about being saved or lost, folks. You can limp into heaven. Surely goodness and mercy are going to follow you right to the gate. Amen. You're just born again once. You're saved by grace, not by works, lest any man should boast. But I told you before too. Amen. Faith without works is what? Come on, say it again. It's what? It's dead. This is not about being lost or saved. This is about operating power. It's time for us. This is about demon spirits fleeing off your children. It's talking about this junk that comes. The devil's preaching an anointed message right in our homes he has a pulpit through that thing called a television. And he wants to destroy the minds of our children. Amen. And we as the church, we come out to the church and say, sing me some songs and make me feel good. And it soothes our souls. Amen. When we go out the door, there's nothing changed. Our neighbors are still addicted to drugs. Amen. There's people still bound up by all kinds of bondages. Amen. We are the church. We are the church. The pillar and the ground of the truth. And the truth shall set people free. The church is the church is what holds up the truth. It's the pillar and ground of the truth. Jesus came. I told you last. He came and He did the work, folks. And now He's transferred that to us. All right, let's look at this. When creation looked at Adam, they were supposed to see God. And they did. Amen. That is, until Adam sinned. Let me slow down just a minute here. Somebody say, slow down, Pastor. My wife told me last week, she said, you was going so fast. She said, it was good and it was enormous. She said, you were just going so fast. When Adam sinned, he fell short of the glory of God. I'm going to tell you something. God's not recognized in man's fallen state. I'm going to say that again. God is not recognized in man's fallen state. That's why we need to be changed back into His image. 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all, everybody say we all. Come on, say it again, say we all. With open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into what? Into the same image. There it is. It's right up there for you to read it. We are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. So when the creation looked at Adam, they saw God. But then when sin came, it changed things. But listen to me. The earth was Adam's assignment. It was under his charge, or under his care, if you will. He was the watchman, or the guardian. How things went on. Listen, I don't want you to miss this. I want to take my time. And this is applicable for us today, folks. How things went on planet Earth, for better or worse, depended on Adam and his offspring. Amen. Amen. The outcome was dependent upon Adam and his offspring. Think about it. If the earth remained a paradise, it would be because of mankind. If things got messed up, it would be because of mankind. If the serpent ever gained control, it was because of mankind. Are you tracking with me? Amen. Mankind really was in charge. Now, you got to hear this. So complete and final was God's decision to do things on earth through human beings that it costs God the incarnation to regain what Adam threw away. Woo! Oh, you got to give Him praise over that. I said, it meant so much to God that when Adam threw it away, God's saying, we got to get this back. So it cost them the incarnation for Jesus to bring the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of heaven came down to earth in the incarnation of Christ and came here to restore what, oh, you're not seeing this in Romans 5. It's in my notes, but Romans 5 says, through one man's disobedience, we all became sinners. But through one man's righteousness, we all are changed and we are all made alive. Jesus came to restore that power and that authority that was lost through sin. You say, Pastor, I still make mistakes, but you see the blood's covered your sin. And if you go back to the throne, amen, and you ask for forgiveness, you can still walk in power and authority. Oh, you got to praise Him for that, folks. It cost Him the incarnation to restore what Adam threw away. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. God wants us to walk there. He wants us to walk in authority. Hallelujah. He became a part of the human race, Dwayne. It's a staggering truth, folks. We're forever to be God's authority on earth. How many you don't have to raise your hand, but how many will agree with your pastor that too often we let the enemy have authority in our lives? We let him take place. The Bible says, neither give place to the devil. Amen. Now, I'm not going to meddle, but I know it's in there too. It's in these notes somewhere. I'm going to tell you something. It goes back to what I was talking to you about last week about walking in the Spirit. Amen. There's a battle between the Spirit and the flesh. And I'm just going to say this. What you feed grows and what you starve dies. You starve out that fleshly man. That fleshly man wants the junk of this world. You start feeding that spiritual man. You're going to rise up and you're going to walk in authority when that enemy comes. Amen. You're going to say, oh no, devil. Oh no. I'm walking in a dominion. I'm walking in authority. It's time for the church to walk in dominion. I want a church. I'm trying to preach. This is so much in my heart. Jason, and I want a church that walks in authority. And I'm not going to say you're not going to face things. But Jesus said in the world, you're going to have trouble. He said in the world, you're going to have tribulation. But you know what he said, but be of good cheer, folks. I've overcome the world. And guess what? He lives and resides in us. And if he's overcome the world, that means we can overcome the world. We are overcomers through him that has saved us. We are overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. If you'll give a testimony and say, I'm an overcomer, and don't brag on the devil all the time, you'll overcome. People give him way too much credit. Oh, bless God, he's beat me down. I battled the devil all week. Where's your victory? Amen. The victory's stay in the Word. You might say, well, Pastor, I just can't get it. You stay in the Word and stay on your knees long enough, the victory will come, and you'll start walking as a king and as a priest. You'll rise up, and you'll be that in the spirit realm. When the devil looks at you, he'll see somebody different. Oh, God, help us to get this. I want a church that is on fire with power and authority that speaks to demons and they have to flee. The Bible says that you shall cast out demons in my name. You shall pray for the sick and they shall recover. You can drink any deadly thing or you can pick up a serpent, any of these things. It will not harm you because of who you are. Oh, you're covered. I said you're covered by the blood of the Lamb and you have power in the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Oh, come on, church. We can give Him praise this morning because we are the church. It's time for us to rise up and be who God has called us to be. Oh, hallelujah. I'm about to blow up. Look out. I'm about ready to take off. Ain't a whole lot of room in here for me to take off, but I'm well anyway. Woo. Somebody say, it's coming. Amen. I want you to get there. Now, I'm not talking about revival. Revival's here. It's in our hearts. Revival's here. I'm talking about, when I say it's coming, I'm talking about you getting to the place God wants you to be. And walking in this. All right, let me go on. Right here's where the necessity of prayer comes in, folks. God chose from the time of creation to do His work on earth through us. He always has and He always will. Even at the cost of becoming one of us. Amen? Amen? If you read the scriptures, you'll see that over and over. God needs faithful men. And God needs faithful women. God needs a people to whom do His work. And you was all over it, Mark. The Spirit of the Lord is up on me. He's anointed me. Not just the pastor. From the pulpit to the pew. From the front to the back. The Spirit of the Lord, you know, when Jesus read those, and I love how the Word is timeless. Amen? It reaches all the way down to touch us where we are. God needs a people through whom to work. God needs prophets. God needs visionaries. God needed a human Messiah. Amen? God needs human hands to heal. He needs human voices to speak and human feet to go. Amen? Now keep in mind, it's the Spirit of the Lord doing the work, but He does it through His people. Amen? God used Elijah to pray for rain. Could God have sent rain anyway if He wanted to send rain? You better believe He could. God, He's God. He can do anything He wants to. Elijah prayed seven times. The Bible says Elijah prayed and it didn't rain for a space of 3.5 years. He prayed again, the heavens brought forth an abundance of rain. He prayed seven times. Y'all know the stories. See, go out, and I see a cloud the size of a man's hand. He told Ahab, said, get your house in order. I hear the abundance of the sound of rain. Amen. God used Elijah to pray for rain, and rain came. You know, I'm going to venture to say there's some Elijah sitting in this congregation, and God's waiting for you to start praying for rain. Amen. When you start praying for rain, God's going to honor His promise. He's just waiting for people. You see, God is waiting for people to come into agreement with His plan and purpose. God has a plan, but He's waiting for us to come into agreement with Him to fulfill His plan. Are you with me? Somebody say, let us get it, Lord. We need to line up with God's plan. We need to see as God sees. Oh, hallelujah. Another example of the need of prayer is in the life of Daniel. Israel had been taken captive by another nation because of sin. Boy, it sounds interesting, don't it? Been taken captive because of what? Because of sin. Years later in Daniel 9, we're told that while reading the prophet Jeremiah, Daniel starts reading the Jeremiah's prophecy. You got to see this, folks. When I was studying this, I thought, wow, this is so awesome. Daniel starts reading Jeremiah's prophecy, and Daniel discovered it was time. Everybody say it's time. It's time. Put it up there, Jacob. Jeremiah chapter. No, yeah, it's in a minute we'll go to that one. Yeah, I have it in my notes. Daniel 3, put Daniel, I thought I had it up there. Is it 29? Somebody else, I think it is 29. But anyway, no, you don't have to go there. Go to Daniel 3. That'll work. Put that one up there. Daniel discovered, who was reading Jeremiah's prophecy, he discovered it was time for Israel's captivity of to end, and Daniel was a part of that captivity. Look out. Daniel was a part of the captivity of Israel. And it was time for that captivity to end. How many believes it's time for the captivity of the church to end? Amen. How many believes it's time for the captivity of God's people to end? You know, we can come out here, folks, and worship and feel good, and we can say we're free, but are we really free? Are we really walking in what God... Now, if we walk, we are, don't get me wrong, but I'm saying, are we living in that? Are we practicing that? Are we enforcing that? Amen? Daniel discovered it was time for Israel's captivity to end. At that point, Daniel did something...